Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week with Health Minister Andrew Little, I asked him about mental health advocate Mike King returning his New Zealand Order of Merit medal after he claims that Little has changed to improve mental well-being for young people, updates to the Waikato DHB cyber attack, and nurses' pay negotiations as they could strike next Wednesday should the negotiations fail. Here's the minister. I want to start this week off by talking about mental health advocate Mike King returning his ONZM medal. So what are your thoughts on that?
Look, it's something that Mike King has chosen to do. Mike is, one of the most important advocates we've got on mental health. His work and alongside the work of others like Sir John Kirwan, actually, that allows us as a country to be more open and talk about mental health issues and remove the stigmatisation that often goes with that. He's been absolutely at the forefront of that and been very open about his own lived experience. So he has played an important role. That's the reason he got that recognition, and that doesn't go away, you know. The contribution that he has made doesn't go away. I know he feels disappointed that he wants more support and government support for one of his particular programs. I think that is a separate issue, but I think regardless of what he does with any award that he has received, the truth is that he deserves the recognition.
But if Mike King is returning his medal, do you think that means the government is still falling behind on its progress on mental health?
No, look, we're not even halfway through the 4 to 5 year program that we started in 2019 with the $1.9 billion investment in improving mental health. Roughly $800 million of that is going into things other than the health system, so corrections, education, housing, what have you, and that stuff is now starting to take effect. We know that for mental health is not just a, it doesn't come out of nowhere. It's a response to triggered by life experiences and life circumstances, and so you need to address a whole bunch of other determinants as in addition to the person who's experiencing it as well. In terms of the major program, the centerpiece of that policy, nearly half a billion dollars going into frontline help for people with mild to moderate mental health issues. We've added about 430 full-time equivalent roles to GP practices and community clinics around the country to assist with that. We're not even halfway through that, but those roles are in place. I think it is starting to make a difference. I've spoken to some people who occupy those roles. I've spoken to people who have used the services of these new roles, and people just tell me what a difference it makes. The other part of the program is upgrading the acute facilities, so people who are quite seriously mentally unwell. And we know there's huge pressure on that part of the system, and frankly, the system is struggling to keep up. We've got ongoing investment there. I mean, one of the big challenges we've got is getting people trained up and qualified to be able to assist in mental health roles, and we're only partway through that. So, look, I know people... the problems have been around for a long time. People want the fix as quickly as possible, but there is a reality of this. We have to add more people to the mental health workforce. That takes a while. We're doing that, and it is starting to make a difference. But I acknowledge there is a long way to go.
Okay, are there any more announcements on mental health that we could expect?
Yeah, look, there will be some. They'll be at the lower end of the sort of cost spectrum, if you like, not the hundreds of millions of dollars, but there's other stuff that is about to come on stream that we're doing, and particularly targeted at young people. And I think as we're now to the second half of the phase, I know that some of the feedback we're having is, particularly around these new roles, these health improvement practitioner roles and health coaches, is we're getting other organisations saying, look, we don't have an enrolled patient population, but we offer this service and people can drop into us and see us. And look, we may have to look at those sorts of organisations and services and complement them with these sorts of roles and fund those roles for those sorts of organisations. We are looking, over the remaining 2 to 3 years, to maximise that spread of available people to be there to help people when they, you know, suffering that anxiety, low-level depression, those things that, you know, that if we don't deal with them early enough, can cause people to kind of spin out of control, and that's what we're trying to get on top of.
Okay, $1.1 billion that health got in the 2019 budget for mental health. How much has it been spent so far?
$350 million, because it wasn't all spaced out evenly, $350 million was due to have been spent by the 30th of June this year, so the end of this month. $290 million will have been. I mean, unfortunately, in 2020, COVID slowed things down, and it just meant health officials weren't being able to negotiate putting things in place and what have you. That figure might rise a little bit before the 30th of June, but nearly $300 million of the $350 due to be spent will have been spent by the 30th of June. Next, and then from the 1st of July, another big tranche of money, so there's, you know, $500-odd million left to go, and that will continue. I mean, one of the other things that's happened is that the funding for DHBs for their services, and they tend to deal with the acute services, they have what they call ring-fenced funding, so money goes for it. That money can only be used for mental health issues. That has been increasing year on year for the last couple of years, and they get another increase from 1 July. So that stuff is happening as well. But, we are a bit behind, but I'm satisfied with the progress that we're making in the circumstances.
Okay, moving on to my second topic of this day. It's about the Waikato DHB IT hack. Do you have any updates on that front?
The good progress is being made again. I mean, they've got 680 servers that they have to kind of sanitise, reload with data and bring back on stream. The latest report I had was they are about halfway through that. I think pretty much half of the servers cleaned, prepped, ready to go. They have to. The process of bringing IT services back on stream is a gradual one. One of the important services is radiation oncology. So they're now in the process of preparing to bring their radiation oncology services back online. That is totally dependent on their IT services being functioning. It'll be a few more days yet before patients can be treated at Waikato Hospital, but that is happening. So it's been, their systems were pretty much cleaned out in a functional sense. So it's a big job to bring it all back, but they're making good progress in doing it. In terms of investigating the origins of it, I understand there has been progress in terms of better understanding what exactly has happened, but I haven't had a report on that yet, and I'm awaiting that report.
Okay, I know the government said the DHBs will not pay any ransom, but does the government know what the demands are from the hackers?
I haven't received any formal reporting on that. There was a demand. It was ransomware that was installed in the system, and a demand was made. I don't have the details of that. That's very much part of the police investigation, which was ongoing.
Okay. Moving to my final topic for today, it's about the New Zealand Nurses Organisation. They will be having another vote by next Monday to discuss a new pay offer from DHBs. And if that talk fails, there will be another strike on the upcoming Wednesday. So what sort of advice have you received from the DHBs on this?
They worked pretty hard with the nurses' organisation right up until last week in putting together a revised package that they thought would be mean that the nurses would have something else to consider and think about. We know that per nurse pay is, compared to other, comparable professions, is behind. That's why there is a significant pay equity process underway that's taking longer than expected. In the meantime, the government's got to look to all across its whole workforce, and at a time when it's got to respond to COVID and pay down the debt that it took on to get through COVID and other things, so things are somewhat constrained. They put out guidance about pay restraint recently. That doesn't stop people getting pay increases, but it does mean when negotiating, the escalators are going to be more moderate than might have been expected in the past. Nevertheless, I've seen the work that the DHBs have done with the help of the Ministry of Health and working with the nurses' organisation, so there is a revised offer that has gone out. I understand it's being voted on at the moment. In the end, that's a matter for the nurses themselves, the membership of the New Zealand Nurses Organisation, and we won't know what the result of that is until next week.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire.